You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Our show features our team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. And they'll help you make the most of your money while cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. You'll get clarity on strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to From Beneath the Hollywood Sign. If you love old movies, Hollywood history, or the golden age of filmmaking, you've come to the right place. This is the podcast that talks about amazing stories of Tinseltown from another era and fascinating conversations with writer-producer Steve Kubine and actress-writer Nan McNamara.
So, Steve, did Ava Gardner and Howard Hughes have a good relationship?
Well, they did until he dislocated her jaw.
What?
Well, don't worry. She hit him back with an ashtray.
From Beneath the Hollywood Sign is the gin joint for you.
Recorded in Chicago, Illinois, with your hosts, Ken, Matt, Neil, and Jeff, this is Triviality.
The cream of the crop!
Hello, and welcome to Triviality, the game where lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge. My name is Matt, and I will be your host today. Today we are going to have the ever-popular three-for-all with our contestants, Jeff, Ken, and Neil. How are you guys doing?
Excellent. How are you today?
I'm doing great.
Sounds like you're kind of peppy this morning.
Yeah. Well, I actually got to sleep in a little bit. We're not recording at 7 a.m., which is really nice.
That is nice.
Yeah, so we got a little coffee, good to go. How you guys doing over there?
Doing pretty good. Looking forward to the game. We all have the same mic this time, which normally doesn't happen, so that's good.
I am not the peppy one in the group today. I'm feeling a little under the weather, but I think we'll get it done anyways.
I think we have no choice but to get it done.
That works to my advantage.
So the game, as is usually played, 20 questions in a variety of topics worth 10 points apiece and split into two rounds. At halftime, there will be a special swing round designed by our host, me, where players can rack up some extra points. At the end of regulation, players will enter the final round with the points they've accumulated and will have the chance to wager 0 to 30 points on 5 categorized questions. At the end of the game, someone will be named the cream of the crop.
The cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
All right, you guys ready to get going?
Sounds good.
Yeah, let's do it.
Lay it on me.
Awesome. All right. Question one. In everyone's favorite topic, drinking, a fuzzy navel is made by taking peach schnapps and adding equal parts orange juice. What would make this drink a hairy navel?
I am in with a guess. You know, I just have to logic this one out and guess that this is correct, but I don't know.
I'm in with a guess.
Yeah. Would you guys be comfortable ordering a hairy navel?
No.
I don't really drink, so not really.
I have a guess.
I mean, not at a bar anyway.
Yeah, very quietly with the hand over the mouth. Renewal.
Maybe in like a back alley somewhere.
I wouldn't trust a back alley bartender. You guys all in?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
All right, Ken, you were in first. What'd you say?
I went grapefruit juice instead of the orange juice.
Okay.
I went the other way. I said peppermint schnapps.
All right.
Oh, that makes sense. I was trying to think of changing the liquor to something that would put hair on your chest, but I actually just changed it to strawberry because it has small hairs on strawberry.
Well, that's a great guess. Neil was headed in the right direction. It is something that would put hair on your chest, and the answer is vodka.
Hmm.
If you add vodka to it, it's going to make it a hairy navel.
Makes sense.
Oh, you just add vodka in addition rather than taking the schnapps out.
You're not changing anything. Gotcha. You're just making it a stronger drink.
Okay.
A little manlier, apparently.
So that's nothing.
Yeah, anything with peach schnapps is not going to be considered a manly beverage.
I feel like vodka would be the neutral alcohol of all of them,
the chaotic neutral.
Yeah.
All right, moving to question two. The SETI Institute is a non-for-profit research organization. What does SETI stand for? You guys familiar with SETI?
I've heard it, for sure, and I just can't place where I heard it.
If it was spelled, I think I'd have a better chance, but...
Do you want to give us the...
I can give you the spelling.
S-E-T-I, I take it.
That is correct.
Nope, that didn't help.
Got you farther away.
I tried as hard as I could to come up with a funny acronym, and I could not do that either, so.
So tapping out for Ken.
So, yeah.
I'm going to guess the I stands for Institute, so I think I'm 25% of the way there. I guessed the Socioeconomic Teaching Institute. I don't think that's right.
I just put Southeastern Tremors Institute.
All right, so if I said that the truth was out there, would that help you guys?
Oh, Yeah, I have heard of this.
A little bit.
I've totally heard of this. Yeah,
so it's the search for extraterrestrial intelligence.
Yeah, I've heard about this on various like science podcasts and talk shows and stuff.
And they've never heard anything back yet, but they keep trying. I think it's been around since like the 1980s, so no points there. Moving on to question three, something in geography, so maybe we can get a point or two on the board here. Located in Seattle, Washington, this fishy public farmer's market is the 33rd most visited tourist attraction in the world.
I'm in.
Man, you'd think this would ring a bell with me, but not so much.
Nothing in Seattle?
I haven't been. I should have been.
You guys been to Seattle?
No.
I haven't. It seems like it'd be a fun place to go.
Jeff and I had a friend who was living in Washington for a while, and we neglected to take a trip up there, but...
You guys still friends after that?
Yeah. But hopefully we'll write that wrong soon.
I'd still like to go for PodCon. I've got an answer, but I don't think it's right. Like, I know exactly what you're talking about. Oh, hold on.
it's a fishy farmer's market?
Mm-hmm.
Nope, yeah. Never mind. I'm not changing my answer. It's not going to make a difference.
All right, everybody is in. Neil, the most confident there. Neil, what did you go with?
That would be the birthplace of Starbucks, Pike's Place.
Mm. All right.
I definitely have the wrong city, but I went Fisherman's Wharf.
Okay.
I just said Market Day.
Market Day is not located just in Seattle. It's in every grade school across the country. It is Pike's Place. Fishy meaning it's that on the wharf, it's where they toss the fish. It's kind of pretty famous.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I can see it in my head. I
know of the Pike's Place coffee blend.
Yeah, I'm also very familiar with the Pike's Place coffee blend. All right, moving on to question four. Which president was responsible for the set of domestic programs labeled the Great Society?
No, I'm good. Going to just go ahead and award myself points too right away.
The Great Society.
Jeff is very confident in this one.
Domestic programs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Between two, but I don't know. I'm just not going to think about it. I'm in.
The best way to be on a trivia show, not think about it. What do you think, Jeff? You're already in, right? Everybody's in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome. Jeff, you were first. What do you think?
Sure. When Neil said that he was stuck between two, I'm thinking he's going with one of two three-lettered, often initialed presidents. He may have gone FDR for the New Deal, but I went LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson, for his Great Society.
Okay. Neil, what did you end up with?
Basically what Jeff said. I ended up with FDR and was thinking of actually LBJ and Teddy Roosevelt.
Ken?
I was kind of along the same lines where I thought maybe that was lumped in with the New Deal, but I didn't quite remember that. And I felt like it was somebody more modern, but I still went with FDR.
Right, and the answer is Lyndon B. Johnson.
Good job, Jeff.
Yep. The goal was to end poverty and racial injustice, which, you know.
Still working on it.
I mean, he did. The legislation he enacted at that time did make for a pretty decent step forward. Mm-hmm. So,
baby steps.
Just as long as we don't take any more steps back in the near future, that would be nice.
Yes, and no comment on that one.
Well, he took two steps forward. We're on the one step back. Is that how it's going?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, opposites attract. Question five. It's time for question five, our listener submitted question. If you have a good question that you'd like to send us and so we can incorporate into the game, just send it to trivialitypodcast@gmail.com. Make sure you put question five in the subject line. Today we don't have one because we're kind of running out. A little hint for the listeners if they like to send us some. So you're going to have to listen to one of my questions. Which movie won the 1957 Best Picture Award despite not being about the San Antonio Spurs MVP candidate swingman at all?
So there's no way I could get this just by the year and the... And the figuring out as a film question, so I'm trying to decipher the hint.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, I don't know a lot about basketball. I'm grateful enough that I know that the San Antonio Spurs is a basketball team.
Yeah. It's a step in the right direction.
Okay.
How confident are you, Neil?
100%.
He should be. Yeah.
I needed a little bit of both, and I only had a base of knowledge in one of the, aspects.
I have a knowledge base in neither. So.
All right, I'm in.
So everybody's in?
Yep.
All right, let's start with Ken.
I just went with It Happened One Night.
Okay.
I said Breakfast at Tiffany's.
And Neil?
I believe you're referring to the Ernest Borgnine picture named Marty after Marty Ginobili?
No.
Is that right? Oh,
actually, the bridge on the River Kwai.
Oh, geez.
Kawhi Leonard.
Very nice.
Yes, it's a...
See, his name's Marty Ginobili, right?
Manu Ginobili.
Manu Ginobili.
Oh, see, then I was mixed up.
You're really 100% on that.
I figured. I know. I felt really good about it.
Ginobili was the only name I had for sure, but I was like, there's no way there's anything here.
That's somebody that would come through with like a David Robinson Admiral movie or something.
What I felt bad about was I didn't think Marty was late 50s. I thought it was 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the guy who was married to Eva Longoria? Does he even play on the
Tony
Spurs
Parker.
Anymore? Is he still on the Spurs?
He is still on the Spurs, but I don't believe they are married anymore.
Marty was 55, so I was close.
Well, I was right in my assessment that if I had known the basketball player, I could have gotten the movie, but that's
and
okay.
Then James Harden is on the Rockets, right? I'm not even on the same team for that.
Okay, yeah, cool. You're.
Yes.
Well, after five, I have 0 points. Oh, I think Neil has 10 and Jeff has 10 as well, right?
Oh, man.
So my accidentally brutal game again.
That's okay.
Great radio.
All right, question six. If you take the first name of a president, combine it with the last name of his successor, you get this funk legend.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in.
Me too.
100% this time. I don't know what I was thinking last time.
Actual 100%?
Yeah.
I'm feeling good.
The fact that I'm not getting there this fast is disturbing.
Mm-hmm. How well do you know your funk legends?
Well, that's what I'm trying to think is, I mean, I could do, well, you know what? I could do all of these real quick. Hold on. Let me do all 45 combos. And
no,
I'll
please.
Oh, my God. It's not Barack Trump, if you wanted to get past that one.
So
the
first,
famous.
First name is the first and last name is the first, and then the successor is the last name?
Correct.
Okay.
We're keeping a hard timer on this.
Because otherwise Jeff will go through every single presidential combination. The good the thing is with these questions, Jeff will never give up until we force him to. Because he feels like he should know it.
Write an answer.
Okay.
Okay, we're all in.
So we're going to start with Jeff because I don't think he knows.
They forced me on time. I'm pretty sure I would have gotten there eventually, but I went George Adams.
Okay.
Oh.
You're so close.
Very close.
Ken, why don't you start?
George Clinton.
George Clinton.
George Clinton. Funk legend George Clinton.
Oh, yeah. That makes so much sense.
Whew.
I swear to God, I thought you were going to pull that out. I was going to be so mad.
Walked into it without knowing who it was. All right, moving on to question seven. In the United States, the courts have generally decided that 18 is the age someone has reached adulthood. If horses had the same judicial system, how old would colts and fillies be when they matured into adulthood?
Okay, I'm in.
Jeff, give me some
because I don't race horses.
No, you would lose. They're very
fast.
I just
own race horses.
Do you?
No.
Oh.
Okay, I'm in with, I'm in.
All right, everybody in?
Yep.
All right, Jeff.
I went 3.
Okay. Ken?
2.
And Neil?
I was going to go 3. I was going to go 2, but I know horses grow fast, and I thought maybe it was a trick, so I just went with 1.
And it's actually 4.
I wondered if I was a little low.
We're bad.
At 4 years old, fillies and colts mature into mares and stallions, respectively. It's a very distinct as far as when in breeding and in horse racing, and when they're adults.
Maybe 3 was the last year they can race them. That's maybe what I was thinking.
Yeah. And then at 5, I think they can rent a car is how that works. Question 8. This Philly set show concluded its 7-season run with the iconic line, class dismissed.
7 seasons?
7 seasons.
Yep, I'm good.
Class dismissed. Philly.
And if it's not this show, I'm going to be mad at you. So... Because I just need the points at this point, Matt. I'm pleading.
Okay, I'm in.
I'm shaping up for my worst first round ever.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Oh, wait. I'm just, okay. Well, I could say this out loud because everybody else is in. I'm between Boy Meets World and Saved by the Bell. I definitely kind of remember Feeny saying class dismissed in Boy Meets World, like towards the end. I feel that was on much longer than 7 seasons, though. It went from like grade school all the way to college. How could that have only been 7 seasons? There is like at least 2 or 3 years when they were in college.
Welcome back.
Up your nose with a rubber hose.
That's right.
Saved by the Bell couldn't have been on 7 seasons though either.
Welcome All right, back.
I'm going Boy Meets World.
Okay, you're in with Boy Meets World. Yeah. What did you say, Jeff?
Boy Meets World.
And Neil?
I really wanted to put Welcome Back, Kotter. I thought it was a Vinnie Barbarino's Dream Machine reference, but I put Boy Meets World.
And the answer is Boy Meets World. It actually did only last 7 seasons.
Man, so, that seemed like it was on forever.
So,
but
Ken, to answer your question, how can you get from grade school to college? You can do that pretty easily.
But I remember like 3 seasons when they were in college.
Well, they also were like 14-year-olds playing 10-year-olds.
Yeah, right.
And they all of a sudden they were just in high school 1 year, and then the next year they were seniors, and then they were basically
okay.
In
look, I'm just saying it seemed like it was on for a lot longer than it was.
Yeah. When I was at the Celebrity NSYNC tour date, I saw Danielle Fishel, who played Topanga, by the sound booth because she was dating Lance Bass at the time.
I know how that turned out.
That's your
big crush, right? Growing up,
who? Yeah. No, Topanga. No, that's not my big crush.
Oh, really?
She's a huge wrestling fan now. She goes to all the local shows out in L.A.
The other thing was, I was pretty sure Boy Meets World was in Philadelphia.
Yeah. He used it was
and,
a big
and Saved by
point,
the Bell was not.
I was positive of that. Plus Matt's affinity for TGIF.
Early, they used to go to Phillies games, and there was always like Philly references early on. They kind of dropped that later on, but
we'll do a bonus episode. The people keep writing in; it'll just be all questions about my crushes.
Well, I'm glad I went the right way on that.
All right, so I've got Anna Kournikova. That's the only one I know for sure.
That's the sports one. Yeah.
Well, points all around on that one. Moving on to question 9: when valuing a company, what is the P/E ratio referring to?
Got it.
This one might be skewed a little towards Jeff.
Not really.
Okay, I have a guess.
You work in a bank. They have to talk about this at some point, right?
I'm so low down the totem pole, I never talk about P/E.
Oh, wait. I'm changing part of this. Okay.
I just used to watch a lot of Kramer, so I'm good.
Mad Money?
He told me I should never buy Tesla stock.
How'd that work out for you?
I don't have any money, so it was irrelevant.
It didn't matter. All right, everybody is in. Let's start with Neil on this one.
I had no idea. I just put net profit.
Okay.
Ken? I went with profit to expense.
All right. And Jeff?
That'd be profit to earnings, I believe.
Oh. It's actually price to earning ratio.
Price to earning.
It's the price of the stock compared to the earnings per share. So it has something to do with all of those. It's just kind of broken down to a ratio.
We all said financial stuff.
Yeah. You did all say words that
the
had
only
to
one
do
I
with
was positive.
It's hard to answer a financial question know, when you don't have any money.
Right.
But hey, check out patreon.com/trivialitypodcast.
Yeah.
Then maybe we can invest.
Right. Our PDE ratio is a little low at this point.
The good news about not having any money is we know how to spend frugally. So at least your dollars are going to the right things.
I'm personally a multi-thousandaire.
Yeah. Today, our craft services are pumpkin and M&M candy. So that's our lunch today.
All right. Last question of round one. On a rainbow, what color is the sixth from the top?
Well, this is interesting because we had a nice double rainbow in Chicago over the skies last night.
I didn't see it on every single person's Facebook yesterday.
Yeah, right. It was pretty annoying.
Because it was the first rainbow they'd ever seen.
Okay, I'm in.
You said sixth from the top.
The sixth from the top.
They're pretty common.
The double rainbow?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, nobody would care if it wasn't for that video.
My favorite thing about the rainbow, though, is it's incomplete. So a rainbow is actually a full circle.
Hmm.
But it's really cool in airplanes if you've ever seen those.
Yeah, this one looked really bold yesterday, and it actually looked like it was like touching down, which I know is not the case. It just like looks like that. But this one was so strong that you could see it like go all the way to the horizon.
All right, everybody in? Mm-hmm. Let's start with Jeff.
So sixth from the top going down, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. I went indigo.
Okay.
Also known as cyan. But
I went with violet.
And Neil?
I went indigo.
It is indigo.
Oh, boy.
The old Roy G. Biv will get you there.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
I'm
dumb.
I almost wrote a question about what did Roy G. Biv stand for, but I went with this question instead, and 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
I'm dumb.
You're not?
It's okay.
We'll get there. All right, so after round one, coming up in third right now is Ken with 20. In second with 30 is Jeff, and Neil in the driver's seat with 40.
It's a self-driving car, so I'm not doing much. So, speaking of self-driving cars, we'd like to thank our sponsor for today, Tesla Motors. Thanks, Elon Musk, for the millions of dollars for our price-to-earnings ratio.
Yeah.
So, you know, go out there, buy a Tesla, buy a rocket. Yeah. By one of those fancy space suits that look like they're from Interstellar.
No, they're obviously in a Daft Punk music video.
All right, moving on to the swing round. So for this one, I'm going to ask a question. There are going to be 9 correct answers. You're going to get 10 points for each one you name correctly. I'm making it 10 points because I'm not sure how many of these you guys are going to get. Because it's a sports question.
So it's 9 total.
Out of 9 total.
Okay.
You guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
It's rock and roll.
All right. There are 9 U.S. sports teams that don't end in the letter S. Name them.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite questions.
It's pretty good. So just for the listeners at home, because this is the kind of thing you could think about, you know, all day and probably come up with it. We're putting like a 3-minute timer. Let's do a 3-minute timer.
Sure.
Hey there, I'm Dylan Lewis, one of the hosts of Motley Fool Money. Each weekday on Motley Fool Money, we talk through the business news you need to know and the stories moving stocks on Wall Street. On weekends, we dive into the industries shaping tomorrow and host the experts, authors, and executives that understand them. Tune in for insights, a long-term perspective on investing, and of course, stock ideas, plenty of them. To quote a listener, it pays to listen. Check us out and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
Man, you think about the teams and you keep thinking about ones that end in S, yeah.
Like Bulls. Oh.
Yeah. Whoops.
Bulls, Blackhawks, Bears.
Cubs.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Our Chicago-centric podcast, apparently.
That can't be right. There's no way I've got 5 of these.
There must be a hockey one.
I think when this question first came out, Las Vegas didn't have a team, and I was like, wait, does that start? And
nope, it
does.
We're good.
It does end with an S.
It doesn't change it.
So I don't have to worry about that. They actually have the best winning percentage of all time currently as of this recording. So I believe they're 1-0 as a franchise.
So after our 3-minute timer, it looks like I ended up with 7, Jeff ended up with 7 answers, and Neil with 5.
Yeah.
You got we'll 5
see
run down?
We'll see if they're correct or not. But
I see Neil got one that I missed.
Well, let's start with Ken. What do you have?
I went with the Heat, the possibly not a team anymore, but I think they are, the Jazz, White Sox, Red Sox, the Wild, the Lightning, and the Thunder.
Okay. And Jeff?
I'm disappointed that I missed OKC, but I had Utah Jazz, Minnesota Wild, Chicago White Sox, Boston Red Sox, Colorado Avalanche, and I had the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Miami Heat.
Okay. And Neil?
I had Miami Heat, Orlando Magic.
That's the 9th.
Yeah, we got all 9 between us.
Boston Red Sox, Chicago White Sox, and then I wasn't sure that if Wild was a team, but luckily Ken and Jeff said it, so Wild.
All right, so big round for you guys. Ken with 70, Jeff with 70, and Neil with 50. Just in order, what I had was the Miami Heat, the Orlando Magic, the Utah Jazz, the Oklahoma City Thunder, Boston Red Sox, Chicago White Sox, Colorado Avalanche, Tampa Bay Lightning, and Minnesota Wild.
So to answer a question you posed earlier, there has to be a football one. There apparently doesn't have to be a
football
one.
There does not have to be a football one.
Not creative. In the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad we got all of them between us.
I knew about the NFL, though, because I went through all 32 teams. So,
yeah, that's what I started with, and it really bogged my time down because I was going through each conference.
That was easy. I mean, for me, I just basically went west to East Coast, and they just all showed up in my head, so I was like, all right, I can pretty much rule that out.
Some kind of sports Rain Man.
Right.
All right, well, good job, gentlemen.
Well, I know the NFL pretty well. I was an avid watcher for a long time, so.
It's a very impressive swing round for you guys. All right, let's see if we can keep that momentum going into round 2. Question 1 is going to be a little bit of music math. So take the number in Curtis Jackson's alter ego and subtract the amount of times he has claimed to have been shot.
Ugh. How am I supposed to know how many times?
He has said this on multiple interviews, and it's very widely known.
I'm in.
There's no way I could be right on the gunshot.
I'm close. I'm within 1 or 2.
Double digits, guys? What do we think? I'm in, so.
How often has this man been shot?
I wish there was like a really vague clue that reified the number in my head.
I do remember.
At one point, he has said he's been hit with a few shells, but he doesn't walk with a limp. He's quoting some Curtis Jackson.
I'm in. I'm not going to get any closer.
We're all in.
Everybody in?
Yeah.
All right. Ken, what did you say?
So Curtis Jackson is 50 Cent. I say he was shot 9 times.
Okay.
For a difference of 41.
I completely agree with that, and I said 41.
Really?
Okay. I said 41.
The answer is 41.
God, yeah.
Everyone knows how many times 50 Cent has been shot.
How the hell did I get that?
I was hoping it was 8 so that the answer would be number 42.
Nope, 41 there. When I originally wrote that question, it ended up, I was going to be named the punk band that it comes, and it was going to be some 41 question. No,
that's what I was.
But I thought there was too much there, so I dialed it back a little bit.
Well, if you wanted to do a sum 41, it should add up to 41, not take away to 41.
How did I know you was shot that's 9 true. Times?
It's somewhere in your head. You had to have heard it before. All right, question 2. Phoebe, Rhea, and Daphnis are not actually the names of a hot new girl group, but actually the names of moons of what planet? Phoebe, Rhea, and Daphnis.
Can you spell Daphnis?
Yep, Daphnis, and that may be pronounced wrong.
Okay, got a guess in.
I'm in.
Okay.
I can't remember if these are the moons. I don't think these are the moons named after Shakespeare characters. Jeff would know that.
You pretty confident, Jeff?
I have a good reason for why I picked what I picked,
mm-hmm.
but I'm between two, so...
I'm between Saturn and Neptune.
I've ruled out 8, so that's a good start. Or
I'm
7.
I'm just going to go with Saturn.
You can't rule out Pluto, even though it's not a planet.
So that's my guess. Saturn.
Okay, I actually didn't feel it was Saturn, and I didn't feel it was Jupiter. I went with Neptune.
Okay.
I know it's not Mercury that has none. Venus has none. Earth has the moon. So you guys all
knew
those.
Hubris of us to name our own moon.
I also agree with Ken. I don't feel like it was Jupiter or Saturn, so I went one further out. I'm pretty sure Neptune is the one Neil's thinking of with the planets named after Shakespeare characters, so I went Uranus.
Right. And Neil, you said Saturn?
Saturn, yeah.
Or the original Greek, Uranos.
So the answer is Saturn.
Ooh.
So Neil gets it. Actually, Saturn has a ton of moons.
Neil gets like the science 60 or question.
So? Yeah. I got one geography question and one science question.
How about that?
Yeah, I forgot. I was looking it up and like the...
Oh, yeah, I should have... Rhea
is one of the more famous ones. All right, question 3. Adjusting for inflation, 2009's Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 is the most expensive game to produce of all time at $279 million, with 2013's GTA 5 coming in second at $272 million. Which pre-2000 PlayStation title is third at an approximate $216 million when accounting for inflation?
Pre-2000 PlayStation title. So this is the price to produce the game?
Correct. The most expensive game to make. I think big expensive games of the late 90s.
Yeah.
I didn't have a PlayStation, so my knowledge base is more Nintendo, so if anything.
I'm kind of surprised at the fact that it would be a PlayStation title that was pre-2000 that costs that much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it is inflation adjusted.
I have a guess.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a guess.
Ken was in first, so let's go with Ken.
So, just based on the fact that I'm a big fan, first of all, and I don't know, it's kind of a big title, kind of sweeping animatics for the time, and just generally a long, big game. I went with Final Fantasy VII.
Okay. Jeff?
I thought about going like Gran Turismo or the original GTA. I also went Final Fantasy VII.
Okay.
I just for the fact that I remember getting this with the first PlayStation, and I figured the fact that the graphics had advanced so rapidly, I went with Madden.
Could also be Final Fantasy 8 or 9.
Well, the answer is actually Final Fantasy 7.
Ooh, yay.
Points for Ken and Jeff there. Actually, the marketing cost alone for this game was $100 million.
That's what it was.
It was originally supposed to be on the Nintendo, because Square used to put all their games on Nintendo, but they couldn't fit it all in a cartridge. It actually probably would have been more expensive to produce it on the Nintendo, because PlayStation had discs. I think, what was it, 3 discs, 4 discs, something like that, when it came out?
It was 4.
8 definitely had 4 discs, and so did 9. Yeah. That's crazy to think that games like used to come in multiple.
Well, when you think about it,
I think Final Fantasy VII was on 3.
3 sounds right.
I think just the end was on the third disc.
Yeah, the final cave.
When you think about it, though, I'm pretty sure that the storage capacity for a CD-ROM is like 700 meg.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about like high density Blu-ray and stuff, that's like 50 gig now. It's so much more data dense.
And now games just get downloaded directly to your console. People don't even buy games anymore. So, all right. Question 4. In a classic scene from 30 Rock, what was the name of the novelty song about a coming-of-age monster sung by a series star Tracy Jordan / Tracy Morgan?
I love you, Matt.
Coming-of-age monster.
Are any of you familiar with the show?
Yes.
I don't watch 30 Rock.
You're missing
out.
I
can kind of see Tracy Morgan like dressed up in this costume.
This is the classic muffin top.
The rural juror.
Rural juror.
Urban fervor.
There was a terrible murder. Rachel Dratch is really funny in that. Actually, I think my favorite Rachel Dratch character is the one where she's like the cat wrangler.
If we have any 30 Rock super fans, we are looking to do a 30 Rock Laid on Me. If you think you're a candidate, just let us know.
Okay, I'm in.
All right. Ken and Jeff are in. Neil is writing something.
Yeah, I've never really seen the show, so I'm just throwing random words out.
Okay. Neil, we'll start with your random words.
You said coming of age, so I just put Puberty of the Opera.
Okay. That'd be interesting.
So I kind of remember this, but there's no way I could come up with the name of this song, but I think it was like a Teen Wolf sort of thing, so I just went with Teen Wolf Rap.
Okay.
I think you're very close, Ken, because I feel like the song in question is Werewolf Bar Mitzvah.
Yeah.
It is Werewolf Bar Mitzvah. 10 points for Jeff.
Spooky, scary. Boys becoming men.
Men becoming wolves.
It's literally like an 8-second clip, but it's just stuck with me.
I remember,
It's become a Halloween classic.
But I did. I'd remembered him dressed up as a werewolf, for sure.
All right, question 5. Led by their star quarterback, this team won the first two Super Bowls in 1967 and 1968.
I'm good.
Okay. I'm in.
Ken is in.
This should be a lot easier for me. I'm thinking it's either the Packers, the Cowboys, or the Steelers, and I'm trying to remember. I think Terry Bradshaw was a little later than Super Bowl I or II, and I'm trying to Bart Starr.
All right, Neil, why don't you say what do you think it is?
Cowboys.
Okay.
And if I deciphered the clue correctly, I might get a sports question right. I went with Cowboys.
All right.
I feel like this is the Vince Lombardi-led Packers.
So Bart Starr being the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, it's the Green Bay Packers.
I knew it was Packers, and I thought, who's the guy, who am I thinking of the Cowboys?
Roger Staubach?
Staubach. Oh,
Bart Starr is from the Packers.
I thought you were talking about the Cowboys logo.
No.
You said, Bart Starr.
Right. I know.
Right there.
Because I saw a documentary on the original Cowboys, and I was looking at Staubach.
Roger Staubach, who is the wealthiest quarterback in the NFL. His wealth has accumulated since his retirement. He's got $700 million now. Yeah.
He's got a good PDE ratio.
Endorsements and somebody doing great investments for him.
Well, good for him.
Looks like Jeff's doing pretty good this round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I shouldn't have gotten... The one I got wrong is a planets question. Sweet.
And then you get the sports and the pop culture questions correct. This is a...
What is this world coming
bizarro
to?
Bizarro world today. All right, question 6. Billy Blanks is the creator and memorable spokesperson for this 90s trend.
I'm in, finally.
I wrote this one for Neil.
Billy Blanks.
You probably heard it everywhere in 1992.
Yeah, now I remember.
Yeah, we had sort of an off-color trivia team name with this in the title when I was in high school.
All right, looks like everybody is in. Ken, what do you say?
Well, I had to kind of dig deep and remember where I remembered the name Billy Blanks from, and I think he's from the Tybo infomercials.
Neil, what did you say?
It is Tybo, and I just want to reference Billy Blanks' great performance in The Last Boy Scout, where he scores a touchdown and says, "Ain't life a b-," and then blows himself away.
It's a real thing?
Oh, yeah, it's real, yeah. The opening of Last Boy Scout. He's a running back, and he scores a touchdown by shooting people on his way to the end zone.
Jeff, did you get Tybo?
No, I couldn't get Billy Mays out of my head, so I said OxyClean.
Billy Mays here.
Oh, wonderful. All right, points for Ken and Neil on that one. Question 7. A standard pinochle deck contains only 2 sets of 6 different cards in all 4 suits. What are the 6 cards that are used?
It would have been easier to try and spell pinochle, and I'm guaranteeing I won't do that well either.
I believe it's P-I-N-O-C-H-L-E.
Yeah. Something like that.
10 points for Neil.
I'll take points for that.
No fictional point awarding.
So there's 6 different cards
from
2 sets with all 4 suits.
I've never played this. I don't know how it's played. I have a guess.
I've never played it either, but it looked interesting. It's one of those games. I always want to look up card games because these questions get asked all the time.
Yeah, we never do.
So I decided to do it for once. All right, everybody locked in?
Yep.
His madness may just be correct.
All right, well, let's start with Neil's madness then.
I just put 2, 5, 7, 10, Jack, and King.
Okay, random cards.
Yeah.
Perfect. Jeff?
I thought maybe they ran 3 to 9.
Okay.
And I went 9 through ace.
It runs 9, 10, Jack, Queen, King, and Ace.
Ooh.
Points for Ken. It actually has a kind of a weird scoring system, too. It goes ace, then 10, then king, quack, king, quack, king, queen, jack, and then 9.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always like playing king, quack. Pocket king, quack is my favorite.
All right. Minus 10 for Jeff. All right. Question 8. Theobromine is the addictive alkaloid found in this sweet treat.
Got it.
Theobromine.
Theobromide.
Not bromide. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yes, that makes all the difference. You're like, ah, got it. Woo! For a second, I was...
It might be bromine.
Or I think it's theobromide. I'm pretty
it's
sure.
It's with an N-E at the end.
Oh, is it? Theobromide? Okay. I misheard you then.
You gotta redo your answer then?
No, I have the right answer.
Oh, very confident, Jeff.
For the record, I'm not certain. But...
You have a good idea.
I have an educated guess. I think that theobromide is what makes it dangerous for dogs to eat... Despite the fact that I've been consuming a lot of it this morning, and I said chocolate.
Okay. Neil?
I put pixie sticks.
Same here, pixie sticks.
It is chocolate.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Jeff gets there through science.
Am I also right, though, that that's the thing that makes it... it's hard for dogs to break down, I think, and it builds up, and I think that's why it's toxic for them.
I see.
According to my notes, I wrote chocolate. So I got nothing else for you.
I think I'm right, though.
Feel free to Google that.
You always think you're right.
Yeah,
Well, no, we'll put it in the show notes.
That's how overconfidence works.
All right, question 9. While not listed in his complete works usually, this Greek philosopher is believed to have created the world's first alarm clock.
Put down a guess.
Okay.
So it's like a sundial that blocks the light from like some water.
No, it's actually like a series of like tubes and bowls that water kind of goes in and out
right.
of.
And then the water, once it warms up, it rises in the tube and pours itself on a chicken.
Yeah, which lays the eggs.
A rooster, I should say.
Yeah, and then the eggs roll down the conveyor belt and fry themselves.
Are you talking about Pee-wee's Big Adventure?
Absolutely. Pee-wee not being the Greek philosopher. Everybody in?
The fact that I don't know this is disturbing.
All right. Ken, what did you say?
I went with Aristotle.
Okay. Neil?
I think I missed another spa question. I just went with Socrates.
Socrates.
Okay. Yeah.
And so Jeff?
I ruled against Socrates because he didn't really write anything. When referring to the complete works, people often refer to Plato with his dialogue. So I guessed Plato, but I don't know.
All right. The answer is Plato. Complete Works is the name of his book, generally, so I thought I'd throw that in there.
Would anybody like to know who owns the 800-page copy of that, and it's on his shelf at home?
Jeff is raising his own hand.
Very smugly.
Now he's patting his own back.
No, I can't do that. My shoulders hurt from boxing yesterday.
All right, then. Question 10. What state would Live Free or Die Hard be set in if they had taken the movie title straight from the state motto?
I'm down to a handful.
Okay.
And I have a region. And I'm positive it's in the region, but I don't know which state. So I'm getting there.
It's like a little weird, the answer to this one. I got to go with my gut.
Okay.
Okay. I've narrowed it down to 2, and I'm going to take a 50-50 guess on this. Mm-hmm. And I'm positive it's one of the 2 now. So this is going to be devastating if I'm wrong.
All of our friends on the East Coast probably were in right away on this one.
I hope you guys are all thinking of the same state.
That'd be great. I hope it's right, too.
Between Massachusetts, which I don't think it is, and then Maryland and New Hampshire. And my gut says Maryland, but I'm going to go with New Hampshire.
Okay. So Neil's in with New Hampshire. What'd you say, Ken?
New Hampshire was definitely one of the ones I was thinking, but I went with Delaware because that's the one that was in my gut.
Okay. And what'd you go with, Jeff?
So bizarrely, I was between Vermont and New Hampshire. And I chose New Hampshire.
The answer is New Hampshire. Yeah. The phrase was adapted from a toast written by General John Stark, New Hampshire's most famous soldier of the American Revolutionary War. Poor health forced Stark to decline an invitation to the reunion, but he wrote his toast by letter and said, "Live free or die, death is not the worst of evils." And they decided to make that their motto.
And then he was beheaded.
I was going to say he also lived at Winterfell and was head of the king.
All right, after our two rounds, pretty high scores today. We got Ken with 130, Neil with 130, and Jeff in the lead with 170.
Yeah, I think the swing round definitely bolstered our scores a little bit today.
Yeah, you guys did a little better than I thought. I probably would have only given you 5 points if I knew you guys were going to get almost all of them. All right, so heading into the final round where each of our contestants can wager up to 30 points in any of the five categories up to the points that they have accumulated so far. All right, so what I'm going to do is read the categories, and you guys are going to lock your wagers in. Category 1, fears. Category 2, reduce, reuse, and recycle. Category 3, sports and math. Category 4, cartoon cults. And category 5, AKAs. All right, all the wagers are locked in. You guys ready for the questions?
Indeed,
sir.
Yep.
All right, so in fears, it would be ironic if Julia Child had magiricophobia, which is the fear of this, and I will spell it for you. It's magiricophobia. I think I pronounced it close. We'll see, though. I'm sure someone will let me know if it's not.
Cool.
Category 2, in reduce, reuse, and recycle. Disney is noted for recycling animation in a lot of their older movies. In the movie Robin Hood, the character of Little John saw a majority of his animation taken from this 1967 Disney movie. In sports and math, the Red Zone Network has been a revelation to all football fans, showing live look-ins on all games where the ball is in the red zone. How many yards on a football field are in the red zone?
Good deal.
Man.
Cartoon cults. The Loyal Order of the Buffaloes is the fraternity attended by which two classic television characters?
Got it.
AKAs. If you ever catch this Chicago-made athlete grappling with a novelty nacho-filled helmet at Wrigley Field, don't make the mistake of calling him by his given name, Phil Brooks.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. On our show, we help listeners like you make the most of your finances. I sit down with NerdWallet's team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. We answer your real-world money questions and break down the latest personal finance news. The nerds will give you the clarity you need by cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. We don't promote get-rich-quick schemes or hype unrealistic side hustles. Instead, we offer practical knowledge that you can apply in your everyday life. You'll learn about strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. And you'll walk away with the confidence you need to ensure that your money is always working as hard as you are. So turn to the nerds to answer your real-world money questions and get insights that can help you make the smartest financial decisions for your life. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Calling all kids in the car. Brittany and Meredith here from the chart-topping Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast. Are you dreading another silent car ride with the fam? We've got the cure. Three rounds of fresh trivia every single week. Movies, music, even science and Disney. We've got something for every trivia buff in the car. No more crickets chirping on those long journeys. The Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast is your secret weapon for connecting and laughing with kids of all ages. Teens, toddlers, adults, it doesn't matter. Spark their curiosity and challenge their brains with every episode. New episodes drop weekly wherever you get your podcasts. Search for the Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast and turn those car rides into epic adventures.
I hate you.
Don't call him Phil.
I hate you so much. I can already tell you what I know and what I don't know, mm-hmm. and I will be at the same score at the end of this. So if one of you can best me, sweet, and if one of you can't, yay me.
I feel like I remember like Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble being part of that, but why would it, everything on that show is is dinosaur themed, so right. Why the hell would it be buffalo? I'm going to still go with them.
So you just feel stupid. Like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but I remember them wearing the big furry hats. I'm gonna go with them. There's horns on the hat, though. Was it mammoths? I'm going to go with them.
All my answers are locked in.
Okay. I'm locked in.
Everybody all locked in?
Yep.
All right. Question one in the category of fears. The question, it'd be ironic if Julia Child had magyrophobia, which is the fear of this. It looked like Neil and Jeff had a fear of wagering because they both went with zero. Ken in with 20. So what'd you say, Ken?
So Julia Childs is a famous chef, TV chef to be specific. So it would be kind of obvious if it was like food or a specific ingredient. But I went with being on camera.
Okay. Jeff?
As I think about it, something like fire might also be an interesting answer. Like... but I went the fear of rising pastries.
Okay.
I was going to go something food or like knives, but I went with spies.
Okay. Well, it actually is just cooking. It is the fear of cooking.
Way.
Yeah. I wasn't sure how much you guys knew about Julia Child. It looked like a lot, though. You kind of knew who she was. All right. Question two. Reduce, reuse, and recycle. Disney is noted for recycling animation in a lot of their older movies. In the movie Robin Hood, the character of Little John saw a majority of his animation taken from this 1967 Disney movie. Wagers were 10 for Ken and 10 for Jeff. Neil abstaining again. So why don't we just start with Neil, who had nothing to lose on this one.
I just went with Fox and the Hound.
Okay. Jeff?
I said The Jungle Book.
Okay.
Yeah, Little John was a big bear, and I assume they recycled animation from Baloo from The Jungle Book.
All right, the answer is The Jungle Book. He's actually pretty much a carbon copy of Baloo. Most of the scenes, they actually traced over him. There's actually a lot of recycled animation in that movie. It was actually the cheapest movie that Disney ever produced because they used like 60% recycled footage in that movie.
Pretty good one, though.
Yeah, it was always one of my favorites, and I didn't know it was that old when I was watching as a kid. Question three, sports and math. The Red Zone Network has been a revelation to all football fans, showing live look-ins in all games where the ball is in the red zone. How many yards on a football field are in the red zone? It looked like no wagers except for Jeff wagering 10. So, Jeff, what did you say?
So the red zone is the 20-yard line to the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
So you said on the football field, so I doubled that because there's one on each side. So I said 40 yards.
Okay. Ken?
Oh, I just said 10.
All right.
Oh, I said 20.
It's actually 40 because there's 20 on both sides. Good job on Jeff on Good catching thinking. That one. Who did not seem too confident in that.
Well, you said sports and math. So I had to do a little sports and a little bit of math.
So you're 50-50 there. Excellent. Question four. The Loyal Order of the Buffaloes is the fraternity attended by which two classic television characters? Ken wagering big here with 20, Jeff with 10, and Neil not joining the wagering party yet. Ken, what did you say?
Yeah, I was very torn about this one. I really felt like it was Fred and Barney from the Flintstones, but did that make sense that it was Buffalo when everything was dinosaur themed in the show? I don't know. I went with Fred and Barney.
Okay.
Does it make sense that they go bowling or meet an alien named Gazoo? I went Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble.
All right. And Neil?
I went with the same.
Yep. It's Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble. In season one, it actually went by the Loyal Order of the Dinosaur, which would have made more sense. They changed it to water buffaloes. That's just what they were. All right. And the final question in AKAs. If you ever catch the Chicago-made athlete grappling with a novelty nacho-filled helmet at Wrigley Field, don't make the mistake of calling him by his given name, Phil Brooks. Looks like Jeff and Ken both with 10, and Neil still waiting for question six to wager, it seems like. Jeff, what did you say?
I'm pretty sure that we made reference to this in a previous show, but I don't remember. I actually couldn't come up with anything. I couldn't even come up with a funny answer.
Okay.
Yeah, so you put a lot of information in that question, and for a second I was like, what's he talking about? And then I was like, wait, just listen to the name. It's CM Punk.
Yep, Chicago-made punk.
Yep, CM Punk.
Yep. So 10 points for Ken there. All right, after doing a little math here and tabulating the scores, coming up in third today is Neil with a very respectable 130. In second is Ken with 150. And today our cream of the crop is Jeff with 190.
Yeah, no, I'm living in a nightmare. And I am the cream of the crop.
Well done, Jeff. I can't feel too bad about my performance. I racked up some score in the final round there. But Jeff was just all around the best. He had a really good second round.
Yeah, did pretty good in the final round there, but figured I'd play it safe today, see what would happen if I bet zero, and just happy that I batted almost 50 in each round.
All right, and thanks to everyone for listening today. Great game by our competitors. If you'd like to get in touch with us, probably the best way to do it is to visit our website at trivialitypodcast.com or hit us up on Twitter at TrivialityPod or on the Facebook, basically facebook.com/TrivialityPod. If you also like to support us, you can visit us at our Patreon, which is, we have links to it at the website and on our Facebook. We'd like to thank our newest Patreon, Wesley. Thanks so much for the donation. We appreciate all our Patreons and especially our new ones.
Yeah, we really do. We've gotten a few more in the last month or so. We're really grateful for that. We really appreciate it. Hopefully that's going to help us provide a better product for you guys. And we're just really thrilled that everybody's been liking the show. So it's been really nice.
All right. Of course, other than that, other than spreading the word, the best way you can support the show is by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to Triviality on your favorite podcast app. Until next game, on behalf of Ken, Jeff, and Neil, my name is Matt, and that was Triviality.
Oh, check this out. My key to the city of Gary, Indiana. Look at this, and my gold record from that novelty party song.
Werewolf for mitzvah, spooky, scary, points we come in, man.